coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman.
Hello, folks and fans, and welcome to this week's edition of the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins from the Clinch County News, Eccles County Echo, Atkinson County Citizen, and the publisher of the Lanier County Advocate. I'm joined by Blake Pittman, editor of the Atkinson County Citizen. We're going to be talking about what has been going on this past week and headlines from our newspapers in those communities, including the shooting of a prisoner by a Lakeland police officer that's being investigated by the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. We'll have an update on that, which was in the Lanier County Advocate. We'll talk about a former Clinch County band director that's also being investigated for sexual assault. We'll talk about what went on last week in the Pearson City Council meeting. Have an update from Blake about that. We have a former Clinch County resident, Olivia Cochran, that played on a USA basketball team that won a gold medal. We'll talk about that. Chase Daniels, the new basketball coach for the Clinch County Pantherettes. And we'll discuss that along with some fishing competitions that have been going on in Lanier County and a whole lot more. So we're going to take a break from our sponsors. And our sponsor, we are sponsored by Lutz Brown Pegeler Manley Insurance of Homerville. You can go by and see Eric Lutz and our fine friends there for all your insurance needs, whatever they may be. The Shack Cafe in Pearson, Georgia. Country Cabin over in Atkinson County Restaurant, and also Roberts Milling Company. We thank those folks for sponsoring us, and we're going to hear a word from one of them right now.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown Pigler and Manley in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Hello, lovely podcast people. Lynn Robbins back with you for the Behind the News podcast. And one of the big stories, and this was in the Lanier County paper as well as the Atkinson County Citizen this week, was about the prisoner who was shot en route to the Coffey County Jail. He had been arrested in Lakeland on June 4th. The guy's name is Roy Kyle Mathis, 48. And he had been arrested and was on his way to Douglas, going through Atkinson County on Highway 221, when something happened. We don't know what, and the GBI, who is investigating this case, has not said exactly what happened in that car, but there was an altercation, they said, and the officer, William Smith, ended up firing his weapon, striking Mathis. Mathis was then transported to Coffey Regional and then later on to Savannah Memorial, where reportedly he is in stable but critical condition in the intensive care unit. The update on this was the officer has been placed on administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation by the GBI. That's standard procedure in such cases. And they're still investigating it. So we'll update that whenever the GBI concludes their investigation. But they were sort of tight-lipped about anything else but the information that you saw in the Lanier County Advocate or the Atkinson County Citizen. Now, we had another story that was in the Clinch County News about the former band director at Clinch County, Jonathan Kelly, who is being investigated for a sexual assault claim. Now, got to back this up to a couple of weeks ago when Ben Hill County Sheriff's Office arrested Kelly, 32, and charged him with counts of aggravated sodomy and sexual assault. The charges allegedly involve a former student from Fitzgerald High School, well, who was a juvenile at the time. Well, after that initial arrest, there was another arrest. Another victim, apparently from Fitzgerald, same charges. And then the Ben Hill Sheriff's Office said they are also investigating two more claims, one of sexual assault allegations when Kelly was here in Clinch County, when he was the band director here, And then also when he was at Troy University prior to that, Kelly had left Clinch County in 2013 to take a similar band director position at Fitzgerald High School. He had just recently resigned at Fitzgerald High School and had accepted a job as the band director at Worth County. That was when he was arrested, but that offer from Worth County has been withdrawn. And we talked to the Sheriff's Department in Ben Hill. They had confirmed that they were looking at possible another victim, possibly here in Clinch County, but they would not comment in, other than that. Now, if you or anybody else knows anything about this investigation or any kind of and can help in any way, they urge you to call the Ben Hill Sheriff's Department at 229-426-5161. That number again, 229-426-5161. Blake, tell us about, you had a story on the front page this week in Axon County Citizen about the city council. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this week at Pearson City Council, they had two pretty important updates. The first being on the Cairo Loop project that's been going on since early 2017. Cairo Loop is has been a dirt road up until here now, when you're coming into Pearson from Homerville. And they've always had concerns with drainage on the road. Anytime it rains, it washes out the road and they end up with potholes. And I mean, you can just name problems that they've had with it all day long, even up until the point of the people that live on the road having to come in from the backside because they couldn't travel the main part of the road, or people getting stuck in the middle of the road, bogged down and such. So in 2017, they received some grants, city BG grants and stuff like that, to go ahead and fix it, do some drainage issues, do some new water lines, resurface the road, so forth and so on. And so the project was scheduled to be completed on May the 31st, but they're allotted like 14 rain days throughout the project. And when they add those on, it pushes it out to June 14th, which is tomorrow. We're recording this on Thursday, so they're scheduled to be done by then. With the rain that we've had come through this week, they're not going to be finished. Now, at the meeting, they discuss, you know, the possibilities of them not finishing on time. Well, if they don't finish by their projected finish date, then they can be fined a fine every day. And I know it's more than $500, you know, a day or whatever. And so, or maybe a week. I'm not sure how that works, but they can find them. Now, the problem with that, according to Mayor Robert Johnson, he said a lot of that grant money has they received from the state. And so when they find them, a majority of the fine money would have to go back to the state unless they could figure out a way to find more work for them to do on Cairo Loop to kind of make up for the money, which is what they're in the process of doing, because they've still got other things that need to be fixed. What they had a couple citizens complain about, the contractors breaking water lines on the street and then shutting all the water off to fix them and not giving them any notice. And then at 5 o'clock that afternoon, when it was time for them to knock off, they just went home and didn't have the pipe fixed or the water cut back on. And people were without water 15, 16 hours. It's also costing the city more money because they're having to pay their maintenance personnel to go out after hours to fix the problems that the contractor should have fixed during the day. So, again, that project is due to be done tomorrow, which it will not be. So they will be fined money for those extra days. And hopefully they will get that finished up soon so they can get started on the new water line system that they're going to put in to kind of build the water pressure. I know the people on Cairo Loop will be so glad when that happens, because nothing – you know, is worse than having to live down a dirt road that's not maintained well and not being able to get home. The other issue they discussed was this time last year, they approved a building expansion, if you will, of the Pearson Civic Center, which is what the rec department used as a gym. They've used it for, you know, different venues or whatever. And so they approved somebody for like $5,000 to come in and build a kitchen addition onto it. And the council member Barbara Roberts was the one complaining about this. She said she was in there last weekend doing some work or for some event, and she just said the conditions of the kitchen are horrible. And several citizens have complained complained about the linoleum on the floor not being secured properly and not being completed, about the paint on the outside not matching the building, about there being holes, about the cabinets and the shelves starting to fall apart and disintegrate because they were made from that really cheap particle board stuff. And anytime you get those around moisture, they start falling apart. So that also means that they have a moisture issue that they have to find and deal with. And it's just a whole big headache list of things. Council member Ricky Thomas suggested that they all go down there one day this week, find out what's going on, and make a list of things that need to be fixed. And then they're going to contact the guy that they paid to build it and have him come back in and complete things that he didn't complete and then fix the things that are falling apart. So those are two items that they discuss. You know, they discuss normal stuff. They paid bills and approved minutes and heard departmental reports and all, but those were the two that everybody were the most concerned about. So that those should be being taken care of here pretty quickly.
All right. Well, thank you, Blake. You are listening to the Behind the News podcast. We'd like to thank our sponsors. You're about to hear from one of those great sponsors right now.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Roberts Mill & Company, your local feed and seed supplier on West Albany Avenue in Pearson, Georgia. It is also brought to you by The Shack Cafe, located at 74 West Albany Avenue in Pearson. The Shack is open from Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. They have a hot bar for breakfast and lunch, as well as burgers, fish, chicken, and steak all throughout the day. Also, for one of the best steaks around, check out the Country Cabin Restaurant, located at 879 Mary Batten Road in Pearson. They have the best steaks, chicken, and seafood around. They are open on Thursdays from 5 to 8:30 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 5 to 9:30 p.m. Come out and see what it's all about.
Welcome back, beautiful podcast friends. I'm Lynn Robbins, joined by Blake Pittman. We're talking about the headlines from the newspapers in our communities, Clinch County, Eccles County, Atkinson County, and Lanier County. One thing that we had in the Clinch County News this week is Olivia Cochran. I don't know if y'all remember Olivia Cochran. She moved from here about 4 or 5 years ago. She's now a rising senior at Carver High School in Columbus, and she's the daughter of Tara Williams. Many of you may remember Tara, outstanding basketball player here at Clinch County High School, was on the 91, was it 91 and 93? Three, maybe? Two state championship teams, girls basketball. And then she went on and played at Auburn, where she was an All-SEC player and played in the WNBA. She's the only person I know of from Clinch County that's played in the WNBA. And her, Olivia's father, is Antonio Cochran, who played at University of Georgia. He's from Montezuma, Georgia, played at Macon County. And he was a football player at Georgia, then went to the Seahawks for a while and the Jaguars in the NFL. So Olivia's pedigree is pretty good, and it's showing. She's 6'3" now, a rising senior in high school, yep. And was selected for this USA 3-on-3 basketball team for under 18. And what that is they're going to have that as an Olympic sport in a couple of years, 3-on-3 basketball.
Hmm.
And she was chosen to represent the United States of America, which is a big deal, and was on the national team. And they went to Mongolia to play the championship,
yep,
which is a long way away. And there's a story in our paper this week, and it was the first time Olivia had gone outside the United States, and they ended up winning, beat New Zealand in the gold medal game last week. And Olivia was also on the Carver State Championship team. So she's had quite an eventful last year, winning a state championship her junior season, and then winning a gold medal in this World Cup event that was in Mongolia. So we got a front page story about that. And Olivia also has a younger brother, Antonio Cochran Jr., who we call Junior, who I coach. He's on my son's basketball and football team. And I think he's going into the ninth grade, Blake, mm-hmm. And I think right now he's like 6'3", weighs 250, 260 pounds. I think he may be 13.
Like you said, the pedigree's there.
It is. And maybe we can get them to move back. But but anyway, congratulations to Olivia. A lot of her family still lives here, and they're excited about that, as they should. And she I talked to her mother a while back, and she's being recruited by everybody for basketball. And her mother was real serious about her getting to a place that academically was good. And at the time, she was thinking about going to Georgia Tech because one of Tara's assistant or Tara's coaches at Auburn, one of the assistant coaches, it was at that time the head coach at Georgia Tech, and they were tight. But then since I talked to Tara about this, that coach was fired from Georgia Tech. So I don't know where that puts puts Olivia's recruitment. Of course, you know, she's a legacy at both Georgia and Auburn with her parents going to both those schools. So it's going to be interesting to see where she ends up with that. We got some other basketball news in the Clinch County news this week. Chase Daniel, I think we mentioned this in the podcast last week, but it's official that he'll be replacing Tanya O'Berry as the head basketball coach for the Pantherettes. Pantherettes last year, of course, made it to the Final Four. Chase takes over there. Chase had also replaced Tanya when she was the middle school coach years ago. Tanya O'Berry won a championship there in middle school level, went up to the high school. Chase then coached them for two more years, won two championships, and he's already started with them. They went to and played, I think, a couple of games this week and did very well. Played against Eccles County and I think maybe Atkinson. And did very well. So he's already got them going. In the story, it says they're going to camp later this month at Georgia Southern. And he told me he's going to keep Cynthia Gray as the assistant coach. So that's good. There's also a story, or inside that same story, is that the school system hired another P teacher at Clinch County Elementary School, middle school, a guy named Vincent Davis, who's going to be helping out with coaching and played college football. And I nice talked to Coach Tyson, and he's very excited about him joining the football staff. They're still looking for somebody to coach the offensive line because I believe that Dalton Weatherington has accepted a job at Elbert County. And Dalton, of course, did a fantastic job as our offensive line coach. And I think they're looking for somebody to replace him, so they may have another announcement about that pretty soon. But they are in the middle of summer basketball, and of course, my sons play, so I had to go to a game the other day, Blake, and we played over in Brantley County and killed Brantley County's varsity. I mean, just obliterated them. Then we played Camden County, which is a 7A team. Mm-hmm. 7A team that went 18-9 last year in a pretty good region in 7A. They had a guy that was 6'6", another guy that was 6'5" that started for them, and we ended up beating them by 8. So the boys basketball, this is boys varsity basketball, looking pretty good during the summer. They have a big tournament this weekend in Valdosta at Valdosta State. They do every summer. I'm pretty sure that Lanier's also going to be involved in that. Possibly some of our other schools, Eccles and Axon, I'm not sure, but they're probably going to be all in action this weekend, Friday and Saturday, in Valdosta. Another thing we wanted to mention from the Lanier County paper, and we have two full pages, Blake, of photos from fishing tournaments. So if your child or you were involved in the youth fishing derby that was held at Flatlanders Lake, I think two weekends ago, we got pictures of all the winners from that Randy Patton took for us. That's on the back page. And on page 6, they had a Fishing for the Foundation tournament at Banks Lake. That was, when they say Fishing for the Foundation, that's for the SGMC, the Lanier, South Georgia Medical Center, Lanier Campus Foundation, money for that. And I think the money that they raise at that fishing tournament goes to that Jay Shaw scholarship. So a great cause. And so if you were involved in that, either of those tournaments, we have big picture pages in the Lanier County Advocate this week for you to take a look at. Now, Blake, on the front page of the Axon County Citizen, we got something about Willacoochee's Old Fashioned Day coming up, right?
That's right. The plans are currently underway for Willacoochee's annual celebration, Old Fashioned Day. As of now, the actual main event will be held on Saturday, July 6th. They'll kick off with the annual parade they do every year at 10:30 that morning. Before that, though, on Friday, July 5th, they will have their street dance featuring the band Big Brothers Boombox out of Tifton, Georgia, fronted by a friend of mine named Derek Dove. He puts on a very, very, very good show. It'll be well worth the trip to Willacoochee for that that concert. But they have a new coordinator this year, Pam Joyner. And so, you know, they plan to have vendors, arts, crafts, any other, you know, bunch of other things for kids and adults to do. If you want more information about how to sign up for the festival, how you can help, or how to get a vendor application, you can contact Pam Joyner or the Willacoochee City Hall. Both of those numbers are listed on the front page of our newspaper this week. So, yeah, that's shaping up to be a pretty fun-looking event there, Lynn. I'm going to have to go there and check that out.
Old Fashioned Day in Willacoochee.
Right.
One thing I wanted to mention was the last 2 weeks we had, and I want to thank the Homerville Police Department for this, we've had information for the police scanner in the Clinch County News. And,
yeah,
and the way this works, for those of you not familiar with it, is in the Clinch County News, we have what we call the Clinch County scanner. Same thing in the Lanier County paper, where we put police reports in the newspaper, whatever they, and every week we're supposed to go by there and pick it up. And the Lanier County Police Department is very good about it. The Sheriff's Department in Lanier County is very good about it. And the Clinch County Police Department is doing very well with that, and I'd like to thank them. Some of our other police departments, we need to work on, because they need to give us more information so we can provide taxpayers and people in communities information. And if you know somebody in law enforcement, stress to them that this is good for them and good
That's
for the
right.
community enforcement I have to deal with. And it's scary sometimes. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's anyway, it's just a microcosm of what they have to deal with. And you know, people need to know what law enforcement's doing. And if not, if they don't put these police reports in the newspaper, then they assume they're doing nothing.
That's right.
And so, anyway, I appreciate the Homerville Police Department and them bringing that in. And also, Laura Nipper at our office does a good job of compiling that, and it's highly entertaining. It is worth the cost of buying the newspaper just to read the police report sometimes. And of course, it's sad sometimes, but it's also sometimes sort of...
Always get a good laugh out of
there's
it.
There's always one item that's hysterical.
It's like having our own Florida Man in our backyard.
Yeah, it is a lot of Florida Man stuff. So pick up a copy of the Clinch County News or Lanier County Advocate. You'll see what we're talking about. Another thing that's coming up, man, football season, I can't wait for it. It's right around the corner. And we're starting right now selling ads for our football preview section. So if you have a football player in Atchison County and in Lanier County, Clinch County, a cheerleader, a band member, we're one of the few newspapers in all of Georgia that puts a section out that celebrates all those kids.
That's right.
And we want you to participate. And so if you have a kid that's involved in any of those, we'll sell ads, and they're pretty inexpensive. We'll get the child's picture and put in, and you say good luck to blah 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 football player, cheerleader, band member, whatever. And we're going to have stories about the upcoming season, not just the upcoming season for the football team, but also band and cheerleaders, and have pictures and all kinds of stuff. And just recently, the Clinch County News won awards for our football preview section. It's one of the things we do as well as anybody. And so we want you to be a part of that. Just call up your local newspaper, whether it be the Lanier County Advocate, Axe County Citizen, or Clinch County News, and we'll try to take care of that. Blake, you had the Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure podcast this week.
That's right.
It's already up. Tell us about it and tell us what's coming up next.
This week's Excellent Adventure, we take you on a ride through some crazy news headlines like we always do, but then we get into discussing a pretty important topic here lately. There were two Bigfoot sightings in North Georgia within a couple of miles of each other within a week of Memorial Day. And so we discussed the phenomenon of Bigfoot and these sightings, and even had a sound bite in there where they interviewed one guy about Bigfoot messing with his dog and how he ran him off with a stick, yelling at him. It was kind of, it's quite hilarious. Then we went into discussing some obscure artists or musical acts. You know, some of these that kind of fly under the radar that maybe not a lot of people have heard about or whatever. You know, because we're always trying to put new information out there to give people another aspect of the entertainment experience, if you will. We discussed those. We gave a couple of examples for our top five this week. We did top five overacted movies or scenes or actors from movies. And we had a pretty good time doing that. We give some pretty crappy impersonations.
I thought they were the one of Keanu Reeves was good.
Keanu Reeves. I was talking to Ben earlier, and I said Lynn refuses to call him Keanu Reeves. No. He refers to him as Keanu Reeves. And so then we discussed some. Probably my favorite part of the podcast was, you know, is when we talk about Florida Man. We had two Florida Man stories, and the one about the guy dying in the meth lab explosion was quite hilarious. It was very tough for me to read through that one and keep a straight face. And then we're going to use that to segue into next week's title, or not the Florida Man, but the obscure artist part. And our top five for next week is going to be our top five most obscure albums. You know, so maybe we'll be able to give you something new that you can go check out and listen to. And I'm sure we'll have other crazy and entertaining things to discuss.
What you're talking about is obscure, but albums that you think are sleepers or
exactly
overrated.
Yeah, that might be
underrated.
That might be a better word for it. Albums that are kind of that people have put out maybe on like secondary record labels that have not been advertised or splashed.
How obscure are you going to get?
I mean, some of the ones we've talked about that we talked about in the list were pretty obscure. And the reason, and the way I find out about them, or the way I found out about these was on Spotify. And you and I have talked about this. They have a cover playlist where these different artists cover these songs that we listen to. And half the time it's people you hadn't even heard of before. And I'll listen to the song and be like, man, they did a good job. And then I'll go research the band and find out, wow, these guys are, you know, some of them are, I don't want to say hard-headed, but, you know, they refuse to go the route of brown nosing big executives to get a record contract, and they try to do it on their own, and you know it's a hard battle to fight. But that, they still put good music out and still put out a good product, and so that's what we hope to do: get them some exposure and give our listeners other things to listen to. So it'll be worth your listen to check it out.
We'll have that posted probably on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's usually
Tuesday morning is when we usually post it.
Yep.
The one this week's is up right now, and you can check that out at any of our websites and also on our Facebook pages.
Created a Facebook page for the podcast this week, Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure. If you're on my friends list on Facebook, you got an invite.
Yeah,
so I just hit that invite all button at the top. So yeah, check it out. We post updates daily and try to keep everybody involved if we can. Lynn, before we get out of here, why don't you tell us what Lynn Robbins' column's all about this week?
It's about the Robbins Learning Academy. And this is something that my wife and I actually started because our oldest son is, like your daughter, is about to be a senior in high school, and he knows nothing. And I couldn't let him out on the world without knowing how to do some things. So what we've done, and this is not a joke, I actually did this. I got a sign-up sheet, and him and his brother's going to be a freshman in high school. They have a list of things they can sign up for. There are about 40 different courses. Some of my wife's teaching, some of them I'm teaching. They aren't going to be any longer than 30 minutes in length. They get to choose whatever music's in the background when we teach it. So we're trying to make this as enjoyable as possible. But anyway, it's things that are life skills that they may, you know, like jumping off a car.
Yeah.
Which Zach claims that he knows how to jump off a car, which I've seen him do it.
Yeah.
So he can exempt that. He can, if he shows a mastery of it, he can exempt it. But how to change a tire, operating a grill. There's one called a class called The Science of TV and Remote Control. the process of browning ground beef.
Yeah.
Understanding oil and its relationship to motor vehicles and chainsaws. There's another one, weed and bug extermination basics. Those are all, I'm teaching all those. Rudimentary plumbing skills with a Z. My wife's teaching the essentials of mopping and sweeping, a class on sewing buttons, breakfast cooking, the subtleties of vacuuming, dining etiquette.
Dining etiquette.
Oven use. The magic of dusting. Journey into your refrigerator. Spot cleaning. Microwave do's and don'ts. And basic botany principles. Anyway, they're just stuff that you need to know in order to be a decent human being and a roommate. Or a spouse at some point, hopefully. And so we're starting. And I put, actually, because some people go, oh, that's funny. How'd you make that up? And I'm like, I didn't make it up. This is, I mean, we're doing this. It's actually happening. So they wanted me to put the actual sign-up sheet. So I put that on my Facebook page as well. So you can actually see it.
Now, the question is when you do that oils and relationship to vehicles and chainsaws, is there going to be a chainsaw demonstration?
Yes, I have a chainsaw.
If there is, I'm coming to watch this demonstration.
Because as you may or may not know, you need to have oil in your chainsaw.
With and it's, the gas, it's, yeah.
You have to have a mixture. So that's, I have right. a gas can specifically with just mixed for chainsaw oil. Because it's a mixture of gas and chainsaw. Yeah. You have to do it a certain percentages. And obviously,
and you have to oil the chain as well.
Yeah,
at time.
Yeah, it's serious. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a whole, that's going to be a, that'll be 25 minutes right there.
I think you should have an ice sculpture class and have those tie into each other.
Well, unfortunately, I don't know how to do that. Maybe if we can
we can figure it out.
Maybe their next hard. Father, their stepfather, can teach that.
That's great.
But, yeah, so check out that column because some people have said, yeah, I need to do this too because my kid doesn't know. I mean, my kid knows stuff, but, you know, I was, because my parents were, you know, I was a latchkey kid. Heck, I had to cook dinner twice a week when I was 11 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, luckily my children haven't had to do that. That was that was just a point of survival back when I was, you know, 11 years old. But they don't have to do that. But I don't want them to be totally incompetent.
It's a good idea, I think. Yeah. My kids are pros at cooking ramen noodles.
Hey,
and if
food,
you need a class on how to obtain a perfect kill streak on Fortnite, I'm pretty sure Jonah Blake could handle that one.
Maybe
for you.
They, in return, they can teach us stuff like that and how to operate my phone.
The art
and
of hiding cheese Doritos so your sister doesn't eat all your snack food.
Yeah, they can have a list of stuff they can teach us about technology.
How
and
to
so
smuggle
forth.
Snickers in the movie theater so you don't have to pay $6 for
That's all I got, Blake.
Yeah, that's all I got, too.
Okay. We thank you for listening to the Behind the News podcast. It's, again, sponsored by our friends at Lutz Brown Pegler Manly Insurance in Homerville, the Shack Cafe in Pearson, the wonderful restaurant Country Cabin up in Atchison County, and Roberts Milling Company. We appreciate those folks. If you see them, tell them you appreciate them sponsoring us. Next week, we'll be back with more of Behind the News, where we'll take a look at the headlines and give you the scoop about what's going on behind the scenes and on the front pages of our newspaper. So for Blake Pittman, this is Lynn Robbins saying thank you for joining us on Behind the News. We'll see you next week.